The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
I'm not sure if it's torn, but it sounds like it's not nothing. Okay. And it's really shitty news to wake up to on a Friday morning.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada. Not a great place to be in Canada right now as a soccer fan.
Unless you're Jimmy Brennan. Happy birthday, Jimmy!
Oh, yeah, there's that, I suppose. Happy birthday.
Thank you. 43. Jeez, where did the time go?
Happy Do Your Hammy Day. Tonight.
Yeah.
On his birthday, he's playing against Ronaldinho. That'll turn out well.
Mm-hmm.
We were out for dinner with him last night. It was crazy. Crazy. Flamenco dancers, paparazzi everywhere. It was just lights flashing, music playing, he bowls in, people going crazy. It was nuts. They got too much. I was like, okay, I got to go now.
Really? You got out-partied by Ronaldinho? That's most people would, I guess.
No. He's a legend, though. Came in with his shades. And at first, we're like, he got all this. What's he wearing his shades for? Who wears his shades when you come into a restaurant? And then 5 minutes later, there's about 100 cameras going. And I was like, you get it.
Makes sense.
Clever.
How much fun was that, Jimmy? You're with all these Brazilian legends and TFC legends.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good time. Good dinner. Lots of people. Place was packed. But it was a good event. It was really fun.
Are you getting fit for this game coming up or what?
Am I getting what?
Are you fit for this game?
It's got 10 hours.
I think so. We had a training session yesterday. We trained for like an hour and 15 minutes. So everybody got through it.
How do you feel today?
Like a bag of shit.
Bodes well for the match.
Hey, yeah. Jimmy, out of all the TFC legends that you were training with yesterday, who can still play at the highest level right now?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nah, come on. It's going to be someone that stood out. Is Giovinco still pretty fit? Looks fit.
Gio's fit. Yeah, he's just that build, isn't he? Just short, ready, small. He was lively.
He's actually still playing for a contract.
he looked good. But the rest, Robbo was there as well. Carl Robinson.
Oh, was he?
He's coaching.
How is he doing? Where is he at now?
He's back in Wales. Back in Wales. He's doing a little bit of work for the Welsh FA. Nice. And he's just trying to figure out what he wants to do, whether he wants to get into coaching or kind of a sporting director role, or whether he comes back to North America or where he stays in the UK. He's not sure. So he's just trying to figure that out. But it was good to see him.
He did pretty well. I think he's a very good coach, and kind of surprised he didn't have another crack at it here in Major League Soccer. But obviously opportunities are short at times, and timing's everything.
Actually, you know what? One, talk about some Vancouver and their situation. Obviously, Robbo still really respected out in Whitecaps land. Maybe we'll reach out to him. Maybe tomorrow, Jim, have a little chat with him. Say, Robbo, can we get you back on the pod? Wouldn't be his first one. He's been on a couple of times.
Well, I'll do it tonight when I pull myself off pitch. Sit down beside him.
Yeah. That's a different thing.
Oh, well, yeah, you'll have 85 minutes to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Do you have a lot of guys who are playing, a lot of depth, so you can make lots of changes?
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of young guys as well, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
So that helps, right? Let the older guys maybe start a little bit and come off, and let the younger guys take the meat of the game and then bring us on towards the end again.
No, that'll be a ton of fun, though. It's going to be packed there as well, apparently. Okay, yeah. Anyway, listen, let's get to the news ahead, and that is we learned this morning, Matthew Schnetti, I saw it from him, first of all, is that Alphonso Davies has done his left hamstring. Again, out 4 to 5 weeks. The World Cup is, I think, 5 weeks away, around there somewhere. This isn't good news. Canada Soccer have released a statement through Matty Schnetti. We're in close contact with Alphonso and remain in touch with Bayern's medical team following his recent setback. Our focus is on supporting his recovery and providing every available resource, including specialized soft tissue expertise, to give him the best possible pathway back to full fitness ahead of the World Cup. Full fitness. He's been given 4 to 5 weeks. It's what I think is his third or second reoccurrence since the he did his ACL. Then he did his
hammy. Third.
Yeah.
Jesus.
This Christ. Is the longest one, I think they're saying, because the other ones were like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. This one's what, 4 to 5, and now you're running out of time.
Yeah, I think they're just saying, quote, several weeks. So I hope that it's not any worse than the ones that he's already incurred. But who knows at this point for us, right? Or if we're getting the full picture of it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Richie Larea better get himself ready, because he's going to be playing in five positions.
Yeah.
Jesus. Need a clone of Richie. That would be great.
Yeah. Where are we going to play? Okay, we're going to play right, left, midfield, up top.
Well, it's that's the whole point, though, because initially we're so used to Fonzie not being available. We're kind of used to that.
That's true.
But it's okay, because there's Richie playing great football and bossing that position. Then he gets injured. Now we're getting a little bit thin, to say the very least, on that left-hand side, which was a position of strength. Well, what's happening here, Dubs? I mean, is this being mismanaged by a medical staff? God forbid we say that, Bayern Munich.
You know, how the team earned, Bayern Munchen.
Should there be legal action considered, I wonder, huh?
Yeah. But no, this is definitely something we've talked about, right? That with the World Cup approaching, important matches in club, you want your players playing, but the inherent risk are these soft tissue muscle injury things, or even more severe ones. So touch wood, that is just a couple of weeks, but the danger here, and Forrest, you've talked about this over the last couple of months, that he is a guy who's explosive, he's dynamic, and he's the type of player, as he ages now, this will be a concern. Obviously, the more pressing concern is what's coming up right now. It is the World Cup. Will he be fit enough? He will be part of that roster. We know it. But how much will he really be able to contribute? And as you're saying, you look at the roster now, it's decimated. We talked about the back line being decimated. He's part of that. Some guys have started to come back, which is great to see. But you look at the heavy hitters on this team, the players that are going to be most heavily relied upon by Jesse Marsch to play the type of football that is going to lead them to have success. And I think you're starting to look, to use your turn of phrase, a little bit thin. And that is definitely of concern. You're in a World Cup where you have a chance to come out of your group. It looks like a likely scenario, even if you finish in third place. You have less of a chance to control your destiny at that point, to kind of dictate who you're playing and stay in Canada for longer. We know all the different scenarios. But they're at a disadvantage now when you look at this team and its position of strength. You know, down the spine, Moise Bembido, like how much is he going to be able to contribute? I think you're seeing Ishmael Kone do very, very well. We talked about him last show. But a guy like Richie with his thigh injury, that was billed as no concern for the World Cup, but he's still not playing right now, which is when you need these guys to play. So to bring it back to Davies, this team has had success playing without him, without their captain, without their arguably best player. But you don't want them to be in that position. You want them going into World Cup in a position of strength. And right now I worry they're not attacking it that way.
And then from a personal note, I mean, you know, selfish, if you like, we're talking about this from a national team point of view, because obviously the World Cup's coming up. But from his point of view, I worry about him long term, the longevity of his career, because of what's happening. And then, like Amy says, as we see him age, is this going to be something that's becoming chronic?
Yeah.
And he's done well. He's got a contract. But what happens in the next contract? You know, we're missing, you know, you got a player that's like this, and he becomes a luxury player almost. So that's not good for him long term from Alfonso's point of view, as we talk about, you know, our national team. But I'm concerned about him and his longevity.
It's rare that you see speedsters have long careers, right? You see,
yeah, when you rely on your pace, like it's something different. I mean, look at a guy like Atiba Hutchinson. That never relied on pace, so he played an awful long time. Paolo Di Canio, another one, not overly explosive over distance, but you know, 3-4 yards, you know, again, he could play, you know, well into his 30s, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. different for guys that are wound up tight and rely on pace.
Well, Jimmy, you're pretty tightly wound. You are now in some ways, but but you're known for your speed, right? You're a quick guy.
So stupid.
But when your speed went though, when you lost that step,
yeah,
was it difficult to comprehend? Did you realize it? Was it obvious?
Yeah, you start to feel it a little bit, and obviously players do tend to get a little bit quicker. But your touch doesn't go, and your smarts don't go. It's just that speed. So you think the game a little bit differently than what you do when you're younger and you're full of pace and you can get yourself out of tight situations. But look, for me, I think he'll be fine. Yeah, will it be a continuing issue over the next number of years? For sure it will, because he's so explosive. But if you look at it as well, and I think if he was to retire tomorrow after winning seven Bundesligas, a Champions League, a FIFA Club World Cup, the guy's won everything at the moment. So, but you don't want to see him retire, and I don't think that's going to happen to him anytime soon. But it's just tough situations, you know, as players, and we've all gone through it where you continue to pick up niggles, and I used to get those little niggles in my hamstrings and my thighs, and because I was explosive as well, and you just have to play through it at times. And sometimes, you know, you do end up pulling it and you're out for a number of weeks, and it's a ball ache. It really is, because you want to play as many games as you can as a young footballer and be involved in everything. And as we know, when you're injured, there's nothing worse when you're sitting in the physio room getting treatment and the rest of the team's out training and you can hear them in the dressing room having a laugh and you're sitting there getting your treatment. So it's a tough spot for him. It really is. He's gone through an awful lot.
And he's desperate to be a part of this Home World Cup, right? As Canada's captain, like he's desperate to do that. But do you guys think, and I'm not the only person to think of this, obviously, but with the injuries, the rash of injuries that Canada has had recently with Davies, the type of football that Jesse Marsh wants them to play, the demanding, the high tempo, it's so intense. So whether it's, you know, tactical, those pressing demands, dropping a player who's not fully fit into that is mm-hmm. just risky in itself. So it's not like we're talking about a different country, you know, playing a different tactical style, a different philosophy in the way that they want to express themselves on the pitch. Like this is demanding, even just coming back into that training camp in Charlotte. So it's you need almost a different look, a different approach and a plan for reintegrating a player into that type of demanding environment.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, you look at what Jesse's under a lot of pressure from that standpoint. We're going to see, to a certain extent, his worth. And then does he need to adapt a little bit differently to that? But that's kind of been his MO the whole time. And it's worked for us. You know, it's worked mm-hmm. for the Canadian national team. So I don't know how far he's going to deviate from it, but he may have to.
You're going to have, in the best case scenario, you're going to have Promise David, who we discussed earlier this week, coming off a long-term injury with probably no games between now and the World Cup, if he's healthy at all. Fonzi, who knows where he'll be at, but likely would have been training very hard for some time before the World Cup starts. Moise Bembido has been out since, was it November, whenever it is. Back soon, not many games under his belt, to say the very least. Same with Derek Cornelius. Same with Alistair Johnston. I mean, this doesn't paint a very good picture. There's a lot of excuses here, but they're freaking good excuses because they are not just squad rotation players. Yeah. They are impact players. Players
that are pillars.
Pillars who Canada need to rely on, who are not going to be entering the World Cup with any kind of recent resume on the pitch.
Not give me perfect.
A reason to be hopeful.
Jimmy's Legends game?
Kyle Larin.
Yeah, Kyle Larin.
Except he's got some tough games coming up. We don't need him in the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't. Oh, my God. We don't.
No. We needed him finishing seventh and just or whatever. Just out, yeah. Seventh and just outside of the playoff spot.
Too late.
Too late. Well, I mean, yeah, shit. He'll be okay. I mean,
listen, every team goes through injury crisis before World Cups, but you know, Canada's depth as good as it is compared to previous editions, it's still not. It's not world class by any stretch, and you lose a couple of impact players, it's going to hurt. There's no doubt. So, you know,
yeah.
Fingers crossed. that it's not that serious, and that this 4 to 5 or several week prognosis isn't quite that, or maybe it should be, and just rest the guy, get this thing sorted out properly, because it's one tweak after another right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's going to be somebody that we don't expect to come up and step up and actually do something absolutely brilliant. You know, it's going to be a lot of pressure, like we talk about. You know, we don't know. Nobody knows what kind of pressure it is playing for a home World Cup. Like, these guys, you can't even. It's a dream come true, but it's also a lot of pressure that it's hard to imagine for these guys. But, you know, there's going to be some players that get some opportunities here that may not have got opportunities before. So good on them. And let's hope that they can raise their game to a level that can get us out of the group.
There's the optimism, I love. I know it's rely on Craig.
I'm optimistic at 5:30 in the morning. It's 5:30 in the afternoon where I lose it.
You're on fire right now, man. This is great. Okay, let's move to some Major League Soccer talk now. From Apple and MLS, it is Kalen Carr joining us. Hey, Kalen, welcome back to Footy Prime. Not a great week for MLS, given Nashville crash out of CONCACAF Cup, LAFC crash out, both to Liga MX teams. We've seen the gap definitely, you know, shrivel over the years between the two leagues, but clearly MLS sees itself soon as being the major player in this region. How big a gut punch is it to see two of your top teams lose this week in the cup?
I think it's pretty big, especially because there were a lot of positive signs, I would say, heading into this round. And I watched the Nashville series with going to Club America, the first team to beat to win in the Azteca and from MLS. And so I was like, and also the fact that it was Nashville, and just from the standpoint of like, yeah, at this point we've kind of come to expect, okay, LAFC, they're probably going to be in and around it. We've seen them go to a CONCACAF Champions Cup final. Seattle are there. We would expect to Inter Miami. A lot of the conversation, I think Jorge Mas, after winning MLS Cup, the next thing he said, I think on the field at MLS Cup, was we want to go win the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and Nashville took them down. So it almost showed some of the more breadth and depth of, I think, you know, going back to the early days, the way throwback, but like the Real Salt Lake was one of the first teams, or the first team to go really deep into the tournament, to go to a final. They should have won it, but you thought maybe that there were these markers. I was at Seattle when Seattle won the 2022 CONCACAF Champions League at the time against Pumas, and 3-0 at home. And Obed Vargas came on for the injured Jao Paulo. I think he was like 17 years old or 18 years old, maybe even younger at the time. I think 16, actually. And so there were these really high water marks, and it looked like this pool was even expanding of teams that could compete in this. And then I think a dose of reality. And I think in some ways it'll be interesting to see how there's been more conversation around how do we kind of close that gap, because we see the competition in the League's Cup. We've seen, you know, for years with the national teams. And now I think it's more, okay, how does this group withstand injuries? Because there was no Sam Sturridge. There was no, you know, some different pieces that were missing. But it's, can you add to withstand multiple competitions? Even some of the comments of Mark Dos Santos about the schedule. So I think it's really about taking a holistic look at how MLS can close that gap, because I think we have to be honest about it too. You know, those moments that I mentioned as high water marks are more exceptions to the rule. And it, other than that, it still has been Liga MX who's been the top notch in that competition.
Kalen, do you think, you mentioned the 2022 Sounders win. Since then, an MLS wanting desperately to capitalize on a home World Cup, do you think they missed an opportunity to loosen the purse strings? That's hard to say. Yeah. And make more room under the cap, give teams more flexibility. Is that the way to close the gap, just by way of money?
I think there is a reality where you see, like, I just remember playing against some of the Liga MX teams in my time, and I played in CONCACAF Champions League with Houston, and it definitely felt like, you know, there was a big gap in quality where maybe some of our top end guys could compete, And I think that's where you see when teams are missing, then where's that next level where you look at a Club America and you say, okay, who are they bringing off the bench sometimes? And you're like, these are like DP quality players or players that would fit outside of the salary cap. Or if you make a mistake and you miss on a big player, what type of flexibility do you have to be able to kind of swallow that? And I think the truth is in MLS and, you know, Toronto FC have found this out maybe more than, you know, other clubs is like, if you make a mistake on a big, big player, that can be really hard to dig yourself out from underneath. And so I don't know if it's just as simple as, yes, we need to spend more because we've seen Toronto FC be that top ending spending or Atlanta United at the very top and still at the bottom of the table in points. So I think it's a kind of a holistic look of how do you, what kind of flexibility do you have to build a roster? How can, does it all need to go to the, is it just adding two more big star players? Is that what gets us over the hump? Or is it maybe adding somewhere else and giving more flexibility? So those are like conversations I'm sure are happening that probably above my pay grade, but yeah, I do think there are still some that gap is evident just based off the results still.
Isn't it fair to say that, Kaylin, that when you're looking at the overall picture, I mean, MLS is still relatively young. Liga MX has been around for an awful long time. To me, I think it has sort of closed the gap. Like, I mean, we're not quite there yet in Major League Soccer to do that, but I think we've taken strides forward to get very, very close. And I think that time is coming. Isn't that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I just even think of the standard and quality. And I know, Jimmy, you could speak to this as well, too, is just the idea of going down to the Azteca and trying to, you know, survive. They did that, by the way, without Surge. And there would be times where, you know, I just even mean going down there in preseason and playing against Liga MX teams and just feeling like I would just run to close down an outside back and they would just, you know, throw a step over at me and like make me look silly running right by me where I was expecting someone to maybe just kind of hoof it or I'd be able to break up a play. And you're like, oh, okay. That's different than what I'm seeing week to week here. And so I think there's like definitely the gap is closed and we've seen it even in Leagues Cup and we've seen it across different competitions and in moments. But I think the ambition should be to win CCC. It should be to go and to be the premier league here in this region. And that's part of the competition I think is really healthy for North American football. And so we've seen it with the national teams. We've seen it for a long time that way. I think it's made us stronger. And so I hope that it's not a, well, we've closed the gap and we're comfortable and we're getting to the semifinals because I think there is still that, okay, well, yeah, Leagues Cup is good, but that's a newer tournament or Leagues Cup is, but that's like it later in the summer. And it doesn't have, you know, had all the teams at first and then it doesn't and it's changing a little bit. It's still finding its feet, whereas I think that still is the standard of the measure. And that's why I think those chances where you get to a Club World Cup or you see some of these MLS teams get there, and those are really big opportunities.
Do you think it's maybe a mentality thing as well? I mean, you've played against these Mexican teams, especially down in Mexico. They just know how to win, don't they? They know how to solve problems during matches. Yeah, the gap's getting close, but do you think that with MLS, the mentality's just not there yet of figuring out how to win games and wanting it bad enough?
You know, I've talked to a few MLS coaches about this, and I think the gap is closing from that standpoint too, of just understanding how to navigate those types of matches. You know, and I think the key for me is even I was down at the Generation Adidas Cup, and I saw LA Galaxy's Academy playing against Boca Juniors, and I saw Toronto FC beat Bayern. I think the idea that these young players as a part of player development, Jimmy, like getting guys exposed to different environments early and different styles of play, different tactics, different player profiles, even some of the like the dark arts, you know, so that
yeah, of course.
That year. And I felt like that was what I was describing of when I would go to CONCACAF Champions Cup is, I'd felt a little naive, and I'd been, you know, I'd actually played in pickups in Brazil, and I tried to like manufacture some of these moments growing up and find opportunities to play outside of like structured places or difficult environments. But until you really get down there and you feel that crowd of, I played at the Estadio, the old Estadio Jalisco against Chivas. And it's like, you're not sure until you get there. That's what made the like Toronto FC run to the final so impressive. That's what made the Seattle winning it so impressive. But I think the idea that we can get young players exposed to that early is really, really helpful, because even for the national team, like when you go play in Honduras in a World Cup qualifier, that shouldn't be your first time that you're playing in those types of environment. Like you should have had that. How do you build those opportunities for yourself early? And I think we're progressing so much where now the stadiums are all amazing and the training grounds are top notch. But there's also that component that I still think, even from the U.S. men's national team perspective, people talk about of like that grit. And I actually see that in the Canada team. But I think that that's still something where you feel some of that gap is still closing a little bit for going to Mexico and trying to win in like really difficult environments where they know how to use every little edge possible to get a result.
Remind us again, the Generation Adidas, is that MLS Next or MLS Next Pro?
That is MLS Next. Yeah. That is the one tournament where it's an international tournament. So it's hosted by MLS, but there's teams invited from, I think there's 18 different countries represented. So that was really interesting for me. And obviously there are a ton of scouts there from all over the world. And it was in Florida just earlier this spring. I've been 2 years in a row now. And just to see the level of talent that's coming through is pretty incredible. And then also, you know, I feel like I've got to see some probably future big names playing for, you know, clubs in Europe too. And I was like, man, who's that like tricky little eight from Genk in Belgium? And like, it was just like, and just how do they move how does PSV control possession? But I saw some similarities with the way Columbus played too. So I was like, man, just to see that happening at the like U14, U15 level was really, really, was cool to see for me.
Do you think that there's a chance that when you look at the League's Cup being played in the United States, that it's a missed opportunity, that they have the opportunity to play in Mexico, get that experience in those hostile environments? And you know what I mean? Like, I feel it's a missed opportunity a bit.
Yeah. Well, this year, right on cue, Craig, it's changing. So there are some games happening in Mexico in League's Cup. And okay, that's a new development. Yeah. Because I did feel that way the first few years where you're like, wow, okay, we're doing really well. And then you're like, well, also you're the home team, right? And there's travel involved and all that. But also the unique dynamic with Mexico in the US is like I called St. Louis playing against St. Louis City played against Club America in Los Angeles. That was not a home game for St. Louis, as you could imagine. So there's just like a different dynamic where even in the U.S., I mean, Mexico plays, I think, 80% of their games in the United States for the national team. And so that's just they are kind of, I think, the most popular team in the United States. I think that's not a hot take to say. But I think and that goes for Club America, that goes for Tigres, that goes for, you know, a lot of the, you know, big Los Gigantes in Mexico. But I still think it's for the missed opportunity is more for the US and Canada teams to go down there and to really get exposed to those environments. And I think it's better for the tournament too, to like show a little bit of both sides and what each has to offer.
Jimmy and Craig know nothing about being a home team playing for the national team in Canada and feeling like you're the away side.
Yeah. 90% of our games is like a away game, probably more, 95%.
Yeah. But that's part of it. I mean, I think that's what's so cool about the World Cup coming too, is like that, like I live in New York, right? And I'm like, everybody's the home team. You know, I know it's like There's like France is the home team. Brazil, there's a Brazilian bar that I go to. There's a, you know, a Haitian that I'm definitely going to go to, like the little Haitian area in Brooklyn for one of their games. And I think, you know, same thing when I come to Canada and I come to Toronto specifically, it's like, you know, I'm like, where do I want to go to dinner tonight? And it's like a debate over the top, you know, five Caribbean spots. I tried to ask Robin Fraser if like the one I went to was okay. And just like
I got a really good one for you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll text you on the side. But yeah. it makes it difficult at times where, yeah, there's like, that's partly why I think the U.S. has played in Columbus against Mexico so much over the years. But it's also part of what's like really exciting.
What do you make of this controversy right now? I know friend of the pod, Hercules Gomez, is not happy about it with the Mexican national team. Aguirre essentially saying, you must come to a pre-World Cup camp, to hell with your cup commitments. I don't know how he gets away with this. Is it getting much play down there?
It's getting conversation. I have to say, I haven't been as dialed in on that. But the only thought that I had and that I saw was like that. That's also a sign of how important the CONCACAF Champions Cup is, that like these guys don't want to leave to go to the World Cup because they are in a, you know, a major tournament in a final. And so forcing a player to decide between your, you know, your colors and your, and what's really important for your club, it seems really, really narrow. So I think that's it. I would sort of say it feels really tough for the players to have to make decisions like that. But other than that, yeah, I can't say I have been tracking that too closely yet.
I must say I'm enjoying right now with MLS, Mark DeSantis' era at LAFC. He's getting very mouthy, which I love. he called out the league, like you mentioned earlier, about scheduling. He was all over the Toluca coach this week as well. So I'm enjoying it. I think we're enjoying him. Is the league enjoying the new empowered Mark DeSantis?
I don't speak for the league. I'd say I'm following along like everybody, and I think that's just like kind of a part of the way. Yeah, like one of the most interesting stuff I see often watching the Premier League is really just about like what the coach had to, what the manager had to say after the match, and how furious, you know, what Arteta was about whatever decision it might be, or
everyone.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's part of the intrigue of it. So, you know, for me, sometimes, you know, I still think I would love to hear more from the managers personally. Like, I would love to. I think we get a great access leading up to games, being able to talk to them. And I know, like, especially on the Sunday night soccer broadcast or the Saturday night soccer broadcast, they often have sideline reporters. I actually got to be a sideline for, I'd never done that in my career. I did it for the playoffs last year on some coverage. And you can definitely feel the heat coming off at halftime. Where I was like, let me make sure I word this correctly.
Yeah, aren't they the worst? The halftime interviews are awful with coaches, aren't they?
it was tough. It's a tough position to put him in, but I also, yeah, I don't know. Greg Berhalter, he lost 3-0 at home in the game I did, and he walked. I had to like ask him to walk across the field to talk to me for the post game hit, and he was. He was gracious about it. I came away more impressed by him because I was like, man, that would have been an easy one to say no to, and yeah, hard at home losing that way. And he was like, you know, totally professional. And so I think some of those little moments are stand out for me, but I also think like the access and the opinions of the coaches are that's what I want to look up. And that's what I want to see afterwards. I think that's, and Mark DeSantis is, yeah, getting to know his personality as a character, like that gives me a window into what he's like probably in the dressing room a little bit. And we're getting the PG version, you know?
Yeah. I always think the interviews are the best when you do the ones that are losing as opposed to winning.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you do the interview with someone that's just won, oh, we were great tonight, I thought this was great, blah, blah, blah. But when you're losing and the guys just lost and they got beaten 4-0 and you just give it one of those where'd you think it all went wrong? And then their heads just explode.
I mean, I was looking at I think it says something about, that's what I was saying about the Berhalter moment. And yeah, I was prepping for this weekend in the Toronto FC match. And yeah, I was looking at the post game interviews of Osorio and Walker Zimmerman. And I thought what they said was met the moment. And also I know in the locker room, like the way I felt was sometimes I would watch those to see what my coach said and to see what our captain said, because I wanted to know, all right, well, what am I walking into on Monday? and so I think that it's an opportunity to like message it to the fans, but I think, and the supporters, but I just feel like it's also a chance to kind of set a tone for the team. And so I thought that was like an interesting one from those two guys on Toronto FC. They're more like, you know, the more experienced senior players. And, but yeah, I'm much more interested in how you respond to adversity and, you know, bad moment than when, you know, things are easy and good. And I think, you know, on the other side, that's where some of the conversation has come with Inter Miami and saying, well, things haven't been the best. Where are the senior players, the big stars, the big names coming to the media? And I think that's been another interesting comment on the other side of like, how when you speak and when you don't speak. And obviously that's a different one. It's hard to compare, you know, it's like, apples to oranges when it comes to Inter Miami and some of the players they have, but, and their media access, but it's still, I think, an interesting one.
It's a great point. I know over in Europe, managers have been using the media for years to get their message to the players, you know, and then maybe over here we've been a little bit late to the party. But overall, I mean, you know this, working with Apple, the access we get over here to players and coaches is really unparalleled. They do it almost with a smile on their face. They're not quite as angry and as jaded as perhaps in Europe when you see those interviews. But yeah. I think it's a real positive thing, and that's really, I think, elevated Apple's coverage, actually.
Yeah, and I think it's also it gives you the opportunity to build some trust. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Is I get a chance to hear what you're saying, and then I can give the best. If I know that XYZ is on a minute's limitation, or if I know that this is your intention, or where things went, where the manager feels things went off, that helps me communicate that, you know, to the group. And of course I'm going to call it like I see it based off like the pictures that are available to me and information, but that context can be really important. And I think also the idea that I don't think anybody's out to get anybody, you know, and I think maybe in other contexts, maybe that's more common, and that's where some of the trust is not there. But I also, I agree that I think the access we get to, you know, the inside of the coach's philosophy, the way they do it, and overall is really important. And that's just like, even when we mentioned like the halftime interviews in Europe, and I've talked to some friends who played in the Premier League, and they're like, man, I can't believe you guys get so much access. And I'm like, this is coming, it's not getting less access, right, over time. If you look at sports, like overall, you watch any sports, it's like you're going inside the F1 car, you're going inside the huddle. Like that's what people are craving. And I know that can be uncomfortable for like the players and the coaches at times to have that. But I think that's going to be the future of sports regardless. And I think Apple and MLS have been kind of for a long time on the forefront of pushing some of those things forward, or adopting new technologies and social media and access, and doing some more innovative stuff there. I don't think that, and because we're a young league, I don't think we have as much like history to break in a way. It's you have more freedom to try new things.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Jimmy, when in the early parts of the Premier League, there was virtually no access. They called it parking lot press. They would be just literally standing by your car, which became dangerous because it was like there's nobody third party that was sort of, oh, no, he didn't say that. They would just these bang on talking points and just jump on top of it. It could be a point that, you know, a fight in the game, these sort of things. So they completely lose track because the media in England are just vicious, right? So you can see why they're very defensive in that. But over time, it has got better. They got used to being in front of cameras and media and sort of things like that. So it is important. And then they come over here, and these coaches, first of all, are probably thinking, again, you got to build this trust with them, because this is something that's a little bit different from them. And can I trust these people? So it's this ever never ending game of just cat and mouse about trust and ability to get the access of these managers.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think it's been really positive for me in this experience. And yeah, but I guess it's something I don't take lightly, because I still remember and try to stay in touch with how hard these guys are preparing each week, and how much is on the line and the pressure that's involved with it. So yeah, I think there's definitely some responsibility.
Well, Kelly, you do a great job. Thanks so much for this, mate. We'll get you back on again throughout the season, hopefully, and enjoy the matches this weekend. Should be great.
Yeah, really looking forward to coming back up to Toronto. I feel like I've been up a ton this year. It's been super fun, crazy, a lot of crazy games. But I'm excited. I know it's going to be a big crowd on Saturday for the Inter-Miami match. And I know there's a point to prove after the results haven't gotten have been poor this week. So I'm interested to see what the response is like and what the atmosphere is like at the stadium. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Give us a call when you're up here.
Yeah. I would love to say what's up. Yeah. This is it's a great crew, and I really enjoy the show. So thanks again.
Jimmy runs everything now these days at BMO Field anyway on match days. He's everywhere.
All right, Jimmy, I'm looking for you. I need to find like the back spot for like the premier espresso coffee that the Italians are drinking. Like I need the best.
We got you. They still have that espresso machine. Yeah. That
didn't leave. I'm in the press box, and it's good, but
no, it's coffee's not. Good. The coffee's awful in the press box. Yeah. It's a terrible coffee, and it's always
empty. Jimmy needs to hook you up.
Yeah. But I'm gonna follow Jimmy. He's gonna help me out.
Yeah, he'll get you a hot dog. I know that much.
Thanks, Kaelin.
All right.
Thanks, Kaelin.
See you, buddy.
Cheers, bud.
That is Kaelin Carr. Yeah, it's funny. We had William Yarbrough on the show yesterday. Craig and I spoke to him, and he was saying how, despite the the loss this week, they couldn't ask for a better game this weekend to rebound from that, which is a true sportsman athlete thinking of that, right? Because most fans go, oof, you really want Miami after that? But I guess
Well, we'll see after the game.
Yeah, we will.
I thought it was terrific. It was a great interview. I listened to it yesterday. And Forrest, your question to Kaelin, I think, was basically pulled out of that interview, where he was talking about getting that experience playing in a hostile environment.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Like, that's part of closing the gap between MLS and Liga MX.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Wait, so I didn't know that they were making some changes where there were some games in Mexico. So that's a good step. I mean, the reason why they're playing in the States is because obviously financial, I'm sure tickets are more expensive. They're making more money and blah, blah, blah. So.
Okay, listen, before we leave today, we should do a footy picks. JC, can you, I know I'm surprising you here. Can you roll the music? And what we'll do today, I think, is we'll build our own little parlay. How about that? Courtesy BetMGM, yeah?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, because Craig lost last week, the first time on the season, so it's not.
Yeah, I backed our keepers, and not that they played poorly, but I.
There were lots of goals.
I should have gone over, what is it? What was it, 6 goals?
Oh my God, something, it was crazy.
Like, I can't even remember. There were Max had like 9 shots goals. In the first half.
4-3, wasn't it?
4-3.
Yeah.
That's right. They came back from 3-0. Crazy game. Crazy game. But yeah, Max was getting pelted. He had a part of the game, he had made 4 saves.
Yeah. And I think James Pantemis for Portland, I think he had like 13 saves in his match.
I know.
I saw
the champions of MLS, the best team in the league, last year, he still takes a lot of shots. He gets a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, these shots mean more chances for injuries, and we're not going down that road again. JC, roll it.
Good for a highlight reel, too. Yes,
DJ Melody.
All righty, BetMGM have us some juicy odds. Let's do our own little parlay from the Canadian teams. Jimmy, I will not ask you about TFC Inter Miami. However, I will ask you, Dubs, give me a bet from that match. Be it win, lose, draw, or something even deeper is up to you.
On what I was prepping for a Montreal question. So you're asking me about TFC
you want
Miami?
Montreal? You can say Montreal if you want.
No. TFC Miami, though, you asked, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just so you know, TFC is paying plus 260 for the home win, whereas Inter are the favorites away at minus 120.
Can we go the over?
going to do that.
Do the over? Sure. Absolutely.
Yes. I always know I've made a good decision when Forrest was going to do it. So that's good.
Yeah.
So well, over what? Over 1.5? Yeah. Over 2.5?
It's probably 3.5, isn't it?
Over 3.5.
That won't pay much either. I think they're expecting goals.
So okay. 2-2, a 3-1 or bigger. That's fine. Plus 120. You want to go over? That's your bet?
Yeah.
Okay. So over 3.5 goals pays 120. Okay. Jimmy, you can pick out of Montreal, Orlando, or Vancouver, San Jose. What are you thinking?
I'm going to take Orlando. I think Orlando's going to win.
Underdogs, plus 240.
Yeah, I'm going underdog.
That's the end of that parlay.
It is Montreal, in fairness, though, Craig. There'll be goals.
Yeah.
Playing better, though.
Shall be goals.
They're playing better. They're paying better. That's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, odds are looking pretty juicy right now. Okay, let's move on now to Vancouver. Vancouver against San Jose at the Earthquakes, Craig.
Ooh. Oh, it's a tough spot to go these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do we go with that?
So,
I mean, I kind of like the draw there, but that's a potential parlay buster right there too. But it probably pays three plus to one.
Plus 270. Doesn't pay as well as most draws do usually.
Interesting, yeah.
Usually you're above 300 for draws, right?
Yeah.
Vancouver drew last
on the road too.
Let's take
a Vancouver win. I'm going to take a Vancouver win there.
Okay. So plus 125. Let's slip that in there. So,
I'm sure it's going to look really good on paper.
The MGM's odds plus 1,583 for our three-leg parlay over in the TFC match. A Vancouver win and an Orlando win. Yeah.
Not just so you know,
so $5 on that
Premier League, but
and I'll pay you $80, which I'm going to do. Do I do that? Do I trust you?
I don't think you should.
No. Well, I'll put $2 in. What the hell? I can afford $2.
See, if you don't do it and we get it, then we're broke again.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, there you have it. Thank you, BetMGM. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed money on Footy Prime and Footy Picks. Thank you so much. Thanks to Kaelin Carr for today's show. Our commiserations to all Canadian fans and of course, the Alfonso Davies news. Fingers crossed. It's been a positive week for a lot of sports fans in Canada. So let's try and harness some of that Maple Leaf good luck here and get Fonzie back in time for the World Cup. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Until next time. Oh, stop it, Dubs.
Go Habs, go.
At least you're in the playoffs.
Ah, boo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go Habs, go.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @footyprimeig and on Twitter at @footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. Let's go, Buffalo.
No, JC. Boo.
I live in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Oh,
I get that.
They deserve a good run, don't they?
Yeah. They haven't had it in decades.
Yeah, I prefer Buffalo.
What about the Habs?
No,
really?
No chance. Yeah.
Well, it's...
I guess.
Buffalo's like the city that's like...
Both players. No one touches the Montreal Canadiens.
Buffalo's almost like a little cousin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's
kind of the butthole of the USA.
Yeah. They're kind of ugly.
Did you say that? The butthole of the USA.
The butthole of the USA.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Welcome, Buffalo listeners.
Yeah, I don't think we got a lot of people in Buffalo listening to
it. We're going
to
find out, I guess, aren't we?
Surprisingly, no. You know what Buffalo's motto is? Keep Buffalo a secret because it's such a kick-ass little place. They don't want
it is.
No, you're in trouble there.
Just an ass little place.
Yeah.
Go to an NFL game there and get a couple fights.